Our subject today is survival of the weakest, and it's about the story of the prophet Elijah. All the readings I've got are from the New Good News Bible or the NIV. When the Jewish people escaped from Egypt, about 500 years before this story, God made a covenant, a deal or agreement with them in exchange for acknowledging that he is Creator God, the God that had helped their people from the times of Abraham, and that they were willing to accept certain conditions, which are called the Ten Commandments, the first of which was worship no God but me. He promised the people of Israel that he would be their God, which was a nice promise to have, isn't it? And this would mean that he would protect them against all their enemies and diseases. He would guarantee the rain needed for their crops, and that they would have many children and be prosperous. It seemed a pretty good deal. And today I think we wouldn't mind having it, would we? The people agreed the deal. And for the first 100 years, things went well. The people who had come from Egypt, they were still alive for part of that, and their children. And the elders knew Joshua, who had led them out. And so they remembered what God had done, and they kept their side of the bargain, more or less. And whenever they didn't, they cried out to God, and God answered them. So the deal was working. Then the people of Israel started to look around at the other nations, and they started to be attracted by how the nations used to worship, because they worshipped many gods and had images of those gods. The trouble with the God of Israel was the fact that he created everything. There was no image of him. Then they started to worship them. And Israel's God, Jehovah, the God that we know of as our creator today, withdrew his support until they cried out to him for help, and he helped them again. But then they had a king called Ahab, who encouraged his people to forget the God of Israel and worship the false god Baal, who was thought to be the sky god who controlled the weather. And that's why we had the story which we've just heard of how God called a man named Elijah to be his prophet or messenger. And he went to see the king, and in those days, a king had absolute power. And if he didn't like you, you're dead. There's a famous one later in the story of Elijah when the king's wife actually said that to him after he had done another great miracle. She just turned around to him and said, "You know, Elijah, you're toast." But this was the message that Elijah gave Ahab. "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew or rain in the next few years, except at my word." And of course, this was a direct challenge to the god Baal, because he was supposed to be in that was his area of control, because he controlled the weather. This meant the death sentence for Elijah, and so God provided, as we've heard earlier, a safe place for him to stay, and where he had water, and we had this amazing idea of drones coming in and feeding him. Today, anyway. As the drought continued, as we heard, the water supply ran out, and God told Elijah to go to another country where a widow looked after him. When Elijah, we're told, asked for bread, there wasn't hardly any. And then you had this miracle promised by Elijah, which happened. This is a story of hardship for the Jewish people 2,800 years ago, who had forgotten all that the God of Israel had done for them. But what is there in that story for us today? And the points I've got are fairly simple and straightforward for many of you who've been Christians for many years, but it's good to remind ourselves. But I'm going to be a good Baptist today, because there are only 3 points. The Jewish people agreed to deal with God, as we know. And this is the God that we believe created everything. People might disagree in how it got created, but that majestic first verse in the Bible is great, isn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it. In Psalm 8, verses 1 to 4, which was written about 200 years before Elijah, this is the words that the person who wrote it said. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the earth, or in all the world. Your praise reaches up to the heavens. And it's a nice line here. It is sung by children and babies. You are safe and secure from all your enemies. You stop anyone who opposes you. And then he goes on to say, when I look at the sky which you have made, at the moon and the stars which you set in their places, what are human beings like us that you think of us, mere mortals, that you care for us? And what we come from this, to me anyway, is that God cares deeply about his creation. He cares deeply about people. And it's a wonderful thought today. The Apostle Peter, writing many years later, in his first letter to the early Christians, he had one part of his letter which says this: leave all your worries with him, that is Almighty God, because he cares for you. So not only does God care for creation, he cares for you. This is a personal care from Almighty God. I think it's amazing. I wonder if you do. And many Christians from the beginning have known this reality. But the Jewish people of Elijah's day preferred idols made of wood, gold, and stone. They preferred something they could see, tangible. And the question in the first point is this: who, what, where do you put your trust today? The second point is, God not only gave Elijah the message to the King Ahab, he provided Elijah with the means to survive afterwards, as we heard. Elijah knew the reality of Proverbs, another book in the Bible that was written 100, 200 years before. And this is what the writer to the Proverbs says: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. So there we have it. Trust in the Lord. Never rely on yourself. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. Now, I've lived a long time, and I've many times gone the wrong way. And it's never worked. And yet we have this great promise from God. In 1835, a remarkable Christian couple, George Muller and his wife, saw the desperate plight of orphans in Bristol and opened his house to them. To start with, he invited 30 orphans into his home. It was a big home. When he died in 1898, he had provided for the needs and the education of over 10,000 orphans boys and girls. Amazing story. Not only that, he also established 117 schools for poor children. And you know the rub of it is, these days when charities want to do anything, they start big advertising campaigns. Christian charities as much as anything else. But this man and his wife never asked anybody for any money. He trusted the Lord to provide for what the Lord had asked him to do. In today's money, before he died, it is estimated that God provided him with £113 million to bring about this transformation in the lives of so many people. God can be trusted. Also, just down the road at the bottom of Escort Road, there's a little row of shops in Albert Road. And there's used to be a lady there called Annette, and she lived with her parents above the shop in Albert Road. She went to the gospel hall as a child with Valerie, who you know, my wife, and where we were married in Denmark Road. And there they were very keen on missionary work. And Annette followed another lady called Mary who into the mission field. But she went with her husband in the mission field to France. And they served the Lord over there for 40 years, and they've retired over there as well. But in a letter they sent us once, she wrote to say that the premises that they were hiring for their work as missionaries, you know, the need for to pay the next bill had come, and they absolutely didn't have any money. And Annette and Jeff prayed about it, of course. And the days went by, and then came the day when they had to pay, or like Spurgeon's, get out. A letter dropped through onto the doorstep, and the exact amount that they needed was in that check in the letter. God can provide people, even the ones we know today, not just back in the 19th century. Point three. One of the strangest parts of the story today is that God told Elijah to go and stay with a woman outside Israel who wasn't Jewish. And God provided for both of them. Now, for the Jewish nation, they were God's chosen people. They still believe they're God's chosen people. And the thought of having to share their God with anybody else was totally unacceptable. It was the same in Jesus' day. The people then couldn't understand that God could do things for other people. And Jesus used this story that we've had today when preaching to the people of his day to show that God's grace is for everybody, not just the Jewish nation. And this is what grabbed me when I first started to read the Bible as an 18-year-old without any background at all, just coming to know Christ. I used to come home from work in London to my little room by the Palace football ground in an old house to cook my dinner, whatever it was, and then start to read the Bible for the first time. And it was when I got to passages like Paul's letter to the Galatian church in chapter 3, verse 28, that really this resonated with me, because in it he says this: there is neither Jew nor Greek. In other words, it's no distinctions are being made between people. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And that resonated because I suddenly realized that in a divided world, God's grace shone through to the extent that every single in the world, whether they are president of the United States or a refugee off the boat at Dover, has to come to God through Christ Jesus, all treated the same. What a message that is for a world in which is more divided now than ever. So this is what we have in these 3 points. Our Creator cares for us as individuals. We can pray to him. He answers prayer. Point two, our Creator asks us one thing, to trust him and he will show your way. He will help you in the life you lead. I can always remember once when I got fed up with the job I was in and usually did things too quickly. So I gave my notice in and went to another job. After less than eight months, I realised it was a disaster. And so I went back to my previous firm and says, sorry mate, you can have me back if you like. And they were daft enough to let me back. And the strange thing was is, I thought, well, going for a penny and for a pound, I said, all right then, I want all my pension benefits back. And they gave me all of them except one, which is not bad. And they even gave me another pay rise. So I had two pay rises that year. So God provided for me in my stupidity. But in the third thing, there is no strong or weak people with God. We are all treated the same. So there we have it. God, our Creator, cares for us. We can trust him totally. And that he treats everybody the same, which in a world which so many people don't have this privilege. And all I'm saying is today, let's make this a real reality in our daily lives. Because it's worth it, isn't it? Amen.